Blog Talk Radio.
Dr. V? Is anyone else on the call?
Yes, Dr. V, this is Minister Joyce.
All right, Pastor Joyce, this is Elder Tara.
Okay.
Dr. V, are you there? How was your day, Pastor Joyce?
What'd you say?
I said, how was your day?
Oh, it was better than yesterday.
Good.
It was better than yesterday. I was so glad the kids went back to school. I don't know what the word to do. It was like it's been a zoo in there all this week because the kids were out of school, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although our kids are in wheelchairs, they go out to school, and with the inclement weather, they were there all day for 3 days. So it was a lot.
Right up under you.
Yes, yes.
My Lord.
But today was much better. All of them went back today, but Richmond City got out earlier. So some of them came wheeling back, but overall it was a blessed day.
Praise God.
Yes.
Praise God. And Dr. V, are you on the line?
I am. I am. Thank you so much for standing in the gap and bringing us on. Elder Tara, appreciate that so much. Who else is on the line with us?
Pastor Joy.
Okay. All righty. Well, we're expecting Pastor Lonnie to come on soon as well this year. And so, yeah, I think our weeks have been similar in terms of just, you know, very intense with our clients and that kind of thing. So it's a work in ministry all at once, and as God has to give us to renew our minds and our bodies and our spirits once the day is done, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
And he does. So I'm grateful. As the scriptures say, he daily loads us up with benefits.
Yes, he
right?
does. Yes.
Amen. Thank God for that.
Yes.
That's fair. I don't know if everybody got my the ebook that I sent out today, this morning, on Starting Strong, about a 54-page ebook. I sent it to your email this year. If you haven't got a chance to take a look at it, please take a look at it soon. And I shared it with you because at Unfailing Love Ministries, we do team ministry. In other words, we are leaders working alongside each other trying to get the kingdom work done. And God has given us a mandate to train up leaders. And so we want to take advantage of all those who have gone on before us and done similar work and what their successes were and some wisdom that they could pass along with us as well, because certainly we're dealing with a generation that we've never dealt with before in terms of, you know, it used to be a time where we can reach back and hear the testimonies of the young people say, I remember hearing grandma pray or grandma taking me to church or, you know, or my parents, you know, making me go or this or that and the other. But now we have a generation probably 3 times removed who don't have that testimony necessarily. And so the things that we assume that people know, basic church doctrine and that kind of thing, or etiquette, they don't know that. And so having to be more skillful, you know, as teachers and leaders and parents, in terms of explaining the gospel in a way and living the gospel for sure, but explaining it in a way that everybody can understand and begin to take it on for themselves. The Bible admonishes us to make disciples. And a lot of times I think we think that is, you know, just getting somebody to say they want to join your church or accept Jesus Christ. But making disciples is much more, it's much deeper than that. You know, it is that walk with them as they walk from immaturity to maturity and to leadership. It is like raising your children. You have to teach them character and you have to teach them patience and respect and, you know, how to overcome different adversities and things like that in life. And we, at the same time, we're dealing with a consciousness in the world today, like we can see it, to where the concept of it takes a village to raise a child is kind of diminished, even in our communities, to where, you know, in schools these days, parents don't necessarily want you to be so hands-on with your children or so intrusive into their lives. You know, you can't take their cell phones without them beating you up, cursing you out. You know what I'm saying? And unfortunately, those are the fish that are in the sea out there. So when our young people come to church and they have their cell phones and their parents are sitting there with them, with the cell phones and not taking the cell phones from them, you know what I'm saying? We had to think twice about taking it too, you know, as teaching and training. So we have to figure out a way as leaders to, you know, kind of take off the world wardrobe, as it were, physically and literally and spiritually and consciously, off of this generation so they can put on Christ or put Christ in so they want to take the world off themselves. Can I tell you that that is going to be work?
Amen.
It's going to take a whole lot of prayer, you know, a whole lot of, as the scripture said, be strong and be courageous. And I say put on the whole armor of God. Yeah, we're going to need the whole armor to deal with.
It is not
just we're dealing with straight up the enemy. We're dealing with the results of the enemy having his way in the lives of generations, to put it lightly. And so what I am doing as the senior leader is trying to pull in as much information and make it available to my leaders as I can so that we will have great tools to work with. You know, we certainly have our own experiences and how, you know, our backgrounds, what we experience in churches, other churches and leadership and that kind of thing. But guess what? It may, all of those things that we learn, we may have to look at them again and go, you know what, this may not necessarily work in this vineyard here. You know, we may have to try something different. We may have to try something new. We may have to go in ourselves to see what we need to change about ourselves, not the gospel, but ourselves, so that God can use us mightily to reach this generation that has been, like I say, three times almost removed from basic Bible and basic Christian maturity. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Does anyone have anything they want to share in that regard? What are your thoughts on that?
I think with the tribe, that this is Tara. I believe that with the tribe, the unfailing love is called to. It won't be business as we have known it to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because we'll have to employ some strategies and some self-care for us because of the tribe that we're called to, you know. So,
yep. Agree with you. Right. And then also ever be open to when God begins to add more to this tribe, you know, that we're gonna have to be alert to who's coming, you know, and it's gonna be a cookie cutter, you know, people that are coming. We make it, you know, people from various, you know, experiences. One preacher said, and I'll never forget this, he's gone on to be with the Lord right now, but he said, in the church, what we have to do a lot of the time is manage pain. And it made me really think deeply. And I didn't have to go too far, because guess what? There in the Bible, there was a woman, the Bible says, in Jesus' day, who had been in the synagogue. She'd been there how long? 10 long years. She could, was all bent over and could no wise pick herself up. Well, when Jesus was in there teaching, he noticed the woman and he called her into himself. And so she made her way up there. I've heard some people, you know, as they're preaching, graphically talk about how long it must have taken her to get from the back of the church to the front of the church, because back then, of course, women were at the back of the church. And so she you know, made her way up to him, and then Jesus began to minister to her, and he Jesus had this way of reading the minds of people, and then people just would come out and say it. And he had all these days to come for healing. Why you just want to heal her today? And Jesus responded to them very curtly and shortly, and he probably took them in their place quickly. He said, "I'm not this woman, this daughter of Abraham. Be healed, be loosed from her, you know, paraphrasing, from her infirmity that Satan has bound her, you know, with, that kind of thing." So he said, "This is her right as a daughter of Abraham to be healed." And then he pointed out who caused the affliction. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times we want to say, "Well, they know better. They ought to know better. Or their parents ought to know better. Or they old enough to know better. They've been in church all their lives." But when Satan has afflicted you, when he has bound you, when he has made you so distorted in your consciousness and in your body, your physical body, what have you, we don't know all the things that were going on with the woman. She could have been healed physically, spiritually, emotionally, and probably even financially. But the thing of it is, she was bent over. Her body was definitely contorted in a way and had been there for a long time, Scripture says. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people have had their mindsets for a long time. They've had a physical or a bondage for a long time. They've been in spiritual bondage for a long time, even emotional bondage for a long time. And so that if they were to be, not just one, but a number of people to come to Unfailing Love Ministries who are bound by Satan, then we need to take the high road, like Jesus said. They have a right, as sons and daughters of Abraham, the what Jesus died on the cross for was for them to have life too and have it more abundantly. And so
Amen.
We have to focus on what Jesus wanted to have happen for all of us when he shed his blood on the cross. We can't look at them and say, "Well, they're going to be like that always." And Jesus' father, "She's been like this the whole time. Well, he's been down by the pool for 38 years. He's going to be there for 38 more years." We have to stand up like Jesus said. They have a right to be made whole. They have a right. Jesus died for them too. He died for the brokenhearted. He died for the person who's confused about their gender, their sexuality. He died for the person who is single and looking for love in all the wrong places. He died for the adulterer. All of it. For everybody. The scripture says, while we were yet, what, sinners, Christ did what? He died for us.
Yes, yes.
Over in Romans. And so that we have to, as leaders, we have to keep that mindset. Is that we got ours. They deserve theirs too. And so we dig into the word. We renew our minds every day. You know, we refresh ourselves. You know, we dress for the battle, as it were. We war in the spirit for them. You know, we pray, you know, in prayer for them. And in a sense, when we think about the praise and worship, "My soul wastes time," we're encouraging. We have to show them, you know, by entering in ourselves, what is it like to worship a true and living God, a God who is totally worthy of our praise, a God that made us to be a praise unto himself. You know, he is our Alpha. He is our Omega. He is our beginning. He is our ending, you know, so that we exalt him so that where we are just spent before him and putty in his hands, and for them to see us worship him until there's no more English to speak, but it's nothing but tongues, and we linger in his presence, and we weep, for, you know, not because we're sad, but because his presence is so awesome to us. You know, that's what we're called to do. And then when we're exhorting the people, we're not beating them up for not being there, but we're encouraging their hearts to open up to a God who wants them everwood whole and healed and delivered and set free. We exhort them to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Mm.
You know, we exhort them to try with all they can to focus on the presence of the Lord so that when they leave this place, they'll leave here made whole, new, fresh again, fit, you know, to be used by God in an awesome kind of way. You know, so when we talk about God telling us to enter in to the spirit of increase, it is challenging us as leaders. God, I want more of you. More of you. I want to worship you like I've never worshiped you before. I want to spend myself before you like I've never. I want to get into the holies and holies and linger there for a while. You know, I want to get into your word and study it so I can teach it in such a way that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, delights in leading me because I am being fervent in my study. I'm getting up a little bit earlier. I'm staying up a little bit late. You know, and I'm mining the scriptures so that when I teach, you know, word to heart, this word will literally, as it's done for me, leap off the pages of the Bible and leap into the heart of the believer, and they might be encouraged and healed and desire, like they're thirsty and hungry for it and don't want to get enough of it, you know, that kind of thing. It is that kind of anointing that I'm praying even now that we will receive. I'm talking about me too. We will receive as leaders. So when we show up on Saturday, we show up on fire for God, you know, because we spent time in his presence as leaders, desiring what we need for ourselves and what we and desiring to be used by God mightily to encourage others as well. Amen.
Amen.
That's where I'm at with that. And I want to hear one thing that I was driving today from Ashland around, you know, and thinking about what we were going to talk about tonight as leaders. Certainly we can talk about budgets. Certainly we can talk about some fundraisers and things we can do. But the Lord wanted me to ask the question. You know, one thing that we found out in our scriptures in Joshua asked the question we talked about a little bit last night, how long are you not going to go in and possess the land? And so that was a great question that the Lord asked us in this last week. But the day he was asking this question, he said, I've called you, I've anointed you, I've appointed you, but have you grown weary in the calling? Or are you like Paul, you know, the fervency that Paul had when he had, after he had his Damascus experience, you know, the fervency Paul had when he was still in jail and writing great letters and encouraging and building up churches. Is the zeal of the Lord still upon your life? Are you still excited about the call of God on your life? God, I want to spend my life in your will and in your way. Jesus said it often. He says, I come to do the will of him who sent me. My meat is to do his will. I only do what I see him do. I only say what I hear him say. Have we thought about lately if that call has become a fire for us, or is it still, you know, is it like fire set up in our bones? And it's not a judgment, just an inventory. Where am I in the passion of my call? Amen?
Amen.
I had to answer the question myself. I'm going like, okay, God, that's a good one right there. You just went in on us, you know, kind of thing. I wanted us to talk about that for a few minutes tonight. Where are you? And you're in a safe place to say exactly where you are without any condemnation, because that's not where you're going to stay. It's just an observation. Well, you know what? I am kind of there. I hadn't thought about it, but I might be just there. you know, not where I need to be, not where I want to be, but the reality is that's where I'm at. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yes.
I want y'all to think about that a couple of seconds. I'm out in front of Pastor Lenny's house. I was trying to give him the book, and I'm trying. You see him on the line? He's a 475 number.
He's on.
He's on the line.
What's his call?
His number is 475. The first three numbers.
Yeah, you can't hear me.
Yeah, oh, no, I didn't hear him. Okay. Well, are you in the 387 section? Because I'm out in front of your house, I think.
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
I'm in 609 section. I'm in section C.
Section C. I may not be in section C. Okay. All right. I'm in front of 387 apartment.
What number?
Not you, right?
387. No. You have to come down to the last, depending on where you're coming from. If you're coming from 9 Mile, it's the last section.
Okay. All right. I need to go over another section. Okay. So, yeah. So now that you're on the phone and yeah, just think about it. Let's talk about that. Who wants to go first?
Well, I'll go first, as always.
Okay.
I'll go first. But I don't mind because that's what I'm here to do, to serve. And as you said, am I complacent with where my calling is, or do I want some more? Do I want to pump up? First of all, I want to tell y'all, thank y'all for accepting my young people for coming the way that they do. Because what I'm trying to do with them is to meet them where they are so I can meet their spirit and then elevate them to where we are by letting them do their songs or their dance in the mode that they're kind of used to, but have a clean up of it. And that's why I let them rap in it. And y'all enjoy it genuinely. I see that y'all enjoy what they do. And they appreciate that. And they enjoy that y'all are enjoying it, which pumps them up to do it more. So I'm wanting to do more. But like I was telling Pastor the other day, sometimes I feel like I'm not doing enough. As much as I do, y'all applaud me and say, oh, he do this, he do that. I don't think it's enough, because if it was enough, it'd be more people. You know, as many people as I know since I've been here in Richmond, 23 years, everybody knows, even on Facebook. I had somebody call me last week. Are you really pastoring? You really a pastor? This woman known me since 1990. And you know, she know my spirit. She know I'm about. Everybody that knows what I'm doing with Unfair in Love and with the young people know me, I'm for real. But they don't want to come out and support my own family. I asked my son and his wife, just come one Saturday and watch your son do his thing in the church. Oh, yeah, well, you know, I got to work. You know, it's always an excuse. So that disappointment kicks in, and it makes me kind of like, man, what am I not doing right, God, to answer this call that you have on my life? I've been called to teach, been called to preach, I've been called to administration. I got so many callings, you know, that some work more than others, but I want them all to work equally, and I want to do what I have to do to build this kingdom, especially with the young people. Because I know how I was a young person in the church, and the old person just said, well, you just go over here and watch us, and maybe you'll get a blessing. I'm trying to tell them I don't have to wait on your blessing, because God going to bless me just like he's blessing y'all. You know, and I was 16 years old, and they was telling me to go sit down, I used to run my mouth. So, you know, I do my thing, and I don't really need no applause or nothing, because God's going to hook me up. The word said my mansion is getting more bricks. And I can imagine my mansion ain't going to be half as big as some people I know. I know a lady in a wheelchair right now. Her mansion's huge for what she does for God. And I get jealous of her. And she in a wheelchair. So I know there's much more that I should be doing, that I want to be doing. And my prayer is, God, give me the strength to keep on serving. I asked him, I did a Hezekiah. I asked him for 15 more years 5 years ago. So I still got 10 extra coming around to see these grandkids of mine. Praise God the way that I came up praising them. And I'm not saying I was great, but I did run a choir director, usher, just serving. And just I just want them to learn how to serve in the name of Jesus. That's all.
Let me stop. Thank you for sharing that. You can come out I'm at 609 and get your book.
Okay.
But I really appreciate you sharing it because I think most of us have had that experience to where our families don't necessarily, some of our friends, a lot of our friends, don't get it, you know, and don't want it. And so, like the scripture says, a prophet is without honor except in his own hometown. So, you know, well, what we have to do, taking that with a grain of salt, we have to, you know, keep fishing.
You see Shania coming?
And, I don't see her yet. Yeah, now I see her. Now I see her. Yeah, keep fishing. So, because you may get your neighbor's kids before you get your own. And they say, oh, look what Big Daddy doing. Yeah, I want, oh, okay, he's doing all that. And then they'll come later. But you keep focused, keep doing it. We'll keep praying that it get done. But we don't, it's discouragement. I'm not saying don't get discouraged. We all get discouraged from time to time. Trust me. But we don't let that discouragement stop us.
Hi, Pat.
Hey, Precious. How you doing? Love you. Talk to you soon. Be Saturday. Okay. Anybody else want to chime in and encourage Pesawani in that regard?
What I wanted to say, I can really relate to what he was saying because at one point in my life, I had got weary in well-doing. And I did get to the e-book. I just briefly looked over some stuff, but what caught my eye was chapter 2, and it talked mm-hmm. about those jailblazers. And I said, God, 2017 is a comeback for me. It's a comeback. Mm-hmm. And I just said, I just got to really, really evaluate my life. And I need to really take a good look at my life from where I was last year. Mm-hmm. And I took some steps of faith, and which I guess probably caused a little bit more stress on me, but God brought me through it. And it wasn't mm-hmm. easy. So what I'm doing now is like just evaluating my life, and I just want to not look back at last year, but look back at last year to see what I can do better this year, mm-hmm. you know, and plan. Mm-hmm. And that is really what caught my eye, and just make decisions on what's really important in my life at this time now, because it's just me and God. It's just mm-hmm. me and God right now. And mm-hmm. as far as ministry, I'm going forth in ministry, but it's a comeback for me. It's a comeback, and that's the word mm-hmm. that I'm using. It's a comeback for me. Mm-hmm. And I'm coming back strong. Like I said, I'm not looking like where I was last year or year before then, but I'm looking back to see what can be better this year in my life. So, and I'm building back my relationship with God where I was because I was mm-hmm. hurt. I was hurt. And I've gotten past that. So I'm going forward now, and it's like I'm moving a little slower. Not that I don't trust you. I love you very much. And I know that God had placed me within the ministry. But I got to move a little quicker. I got to move a little quicker because I have a relationship with God, and that's one thing. I know who God is. I know how he works. And he said in his word, if we acknowledge him in all our ways, he'll direct our path. So God mm-hmm. has been directing me because I have been acknowledging him, whether it was God or not. I said, God, I thank you for taking me this route. I thank you. I thank you for Unfailing Love Ministries. So mm-hmm. what I'm doing now, it's a comeback for me, and I want to remain humble so that I do know that I can pour into the lowly and the meek, that God mm-hmm. is going to see through those doors.
Mm-hmm. Thank God. Thank you so much for sharing. You know, it is something about being transparent in ministry we really do ourselves a disservice and others a disservice when we, like, pretend that, you know, this is not where we are or this is not what's happening. And I'm not talking about, you know, you share in a safe place for sure, but Paul encouraged Timothy to the degree that he told him, because he knew the people he had before him, you know, so he encouraged him to be transparent. He encouraged him to know that what you had, you're not responsible for it just by yourself. You know,
yes.
Your mother and your grandmother laid hands on you. You know,
yes.
you got me. You know, you're young, but you got what it takes to do what God called you to do. And I'm always encouraged by the Paul and Timothy story, because it is easy for us to look at ourselves and go, well, I'm young, or I'm old, or I'm divorced, I'm single, I'm married and not happy. I mean, we could look at all the negatives in my life and say, how can God use this? Versus, you know, God, like Catherine Kuhlman said at the time, he says, God, if you can use me, you know, then here I am. She said, I don't have anything. I wasn't even born with hair on my head. But if you can use this woman, you know, use me, Lord. And when I heard her testimony about that really, 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 really blessed me, because I no longer had to just listen to those voices in my head to tell me what I wasn't. I could turn the page and start listening to what God said I am in him. I'm his chosen vessel. I am the apple of his eye. You know, I'm his servant woman. You know, he called me, and then he qualified me, not me.
Yes.
Did you hear that? Not me.
Yes.
So when I take me qualifying me out of the equation, that lifts the whole burden out of me myself, because you know what? We want to be very credentialed, or we want to be very, noticeably, mature among our peers and this and that, when none of that means nothing to God, but how deep in his heart can he go to find, in your heart can he go to find himself? You know?
Yes. Yes.
And an obedient spirit.
Yes.
So I hear you. When I look back on 2016, I want to, coming into 2017, I want increase in my life. I want increase in my personal devotional life. I want increase in my leadership skills and ability. I want increase in my finances. I want to retire. I got a lot of want stuff. And I know that if I don't lean and depend on God for it, if he's not going to be my shield and buckler, if he's not going to be my way maker, if he's not going to be my strong tower, if he's not going to perform it through me, it won't get done. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So he has to hollow me out, take out all that stuff that's in me that's blocking his flow inside of me. And again, you know, remain humble and hungry and thirsty for him. I was listening to a secular song yesterday morning driving into work, and I said, I'm going to tell Sister Tara about this one. She's going to have to make it holy. And, well, you know, just teach it to us, because it's beautiful. The words are beautiful. It's by Stevie Wonder. You're the sunshine of my life. You remember that one?
Yeah,
I remember that. But I said, that's up here. I stopped and really, really listened to the words. You're the sunshine of my life. You're the apple of my eye. Well, God, you know, it was the most beautiful love song. I said, God, I want to, that love song is for you. It's the kind of relationship I want to have with you. I want you to be the sunshine of my life. I want you to be the apple of my eye. I want to be apple of your eye, like you said. I want to believe it and walk in it. You know, God made me what? Special, according to Psalms 139. Now, within that, let that encourage my soul to be about his work. Amen?
Yeah. Amen.
Sister Tara?
I don't want to share right now because we're down to 2.5 minutes.
So whatever your final comments are.
Actually, it'll keep recording. Okay. It'll go off, so you can share it to the link. We'll go another 10 minutes. I want you to be included in this as well, please.
Okay. I don't want to share right now. If that's okay.
Okay. Okay, that's all fine. Right. I do
want to say to Pastor Lonnie, specifically, I want to address you and how much of an encouragement you have been to me, and how much of a how much I have gleaned from you, Pastor Lonnie. And I know that you know this, but I'm talking to the choir, so don't think that your labor has been in vain.
That's not what I was saying, baby.
Okay. I just want you to
how much you
have encouraged me. All right. And Pastor Joyce for her perseverance through 2016 and what life handed you on your platter. You know, so that's all I want to share right now, if that's okay.
So when we publicly or privately, you know, enter into that question that he asked, that said, "Where are you?" He asked Adam and Eve that in the garden. You know, I think in various forms that he asked that question to men and women all throughout the scriptures and even now to this day. He even told Moses, he says, take off your shoes, because where you're standing is holy ground. God has a way of visiting us directly and establishing or letting us know where we are, you know, even when we don't know the depth of where we are. He will reveal that to us, and he does it for our edification, so then we go, okay, here you are. It's okay. I got you. I'm here. He said, Lord, I'll be with you always. Now let's go. Let's leave this place and go on into. You know, I remember one time in scripture where the prophet Elijah had ran up in a cave because he was fearing, because Jezebel had a bounty on his life. She had him destroyed. And so he went up in the cave, and when he came out to the cave, the wind and the fire and God went in and all of that. And so when God, spotted him and let him know that he knew where he was, then he said, now listen, you go on back and you anoint those kings that I told you to anoint. In other words, we can retreat somewhere, but God will call us out and put us back on course. Amen?
Amen.
Who wouldn't serve a God like that? So that's why when Psalm 139 says, there's no place we can go that God can't find us.
Yeah.
You know, I'm so glad that he's the greatest GPS we'll ever know.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. So I want to admonish you to continue to read that ebook, glean some ideas from there. I want to hear, moving forward tomorrow night, some feedback about, I really serve this up to you. I see as much as I can see. I believe in team ministry to the degree that you may see something that I didn't see. Bring it to the table. Make me aware of it, or make us aware of it, so we can look at it and see how we can embrace it. So I need your eyes. I need your ears. I need your prayers. I need your, input is valid. I'm asking for it. You know, this is not a democracy, a dictatorship. It is, we're being led by what? The Spirit. Mm-hmm. Amen? And all that we do to build God's kingdom. So I'm looking for your input. When we show up on Saturday and each and every Saturday after that, God using us, I'm expecting, because we're going to come so full to empty out, that those that we empty out to are going to be so built up that they're going to want to run and tell somebody, come see. You know, come get some of this. And so I believe that our increase is going to promote and provoke increase. Does that make sense?
Amen.
Our internal increase. Amen. Thanks again, Elder Tara, for bringing us on, and all of you for being
you know, patient as we use it. And thank God for this technology that we have that we can reach out and connect in this way. Again, if you don't, if I haven't gotten to you with your book, Breakthrough by Joel Osteen, and if I can't reach you tomorrow, for sure I'll have it on Saturday for you. I think I got just about enough copies for every adult. I know I have enough copies for every adult in the church to have one. And then we're, the kids are going to probably get something a little bit different, but they're going to still enjoy the journey that we're on as well, too, because of they just needed something a little bit extra. Okay?
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Pastor Lonnie, could you close us out in prayer, please?
Father, I thank you so much again for the wisdom that you have imparted into our pastor and the vision that you have imparted into her, that we can see it too. And she's making it plain for us so we can put it out there and draw those that you send to us and make them comfortable with our ministry. In Jesus' name, I love all y'all. Amen.
Love you too.
Good night, everyone.
Okay.